Romans chapter 8, verse 11 through 17. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Backing up to verse number 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I'd like to talk to you this morning on a subject simply entitled Relationship. Relationship. The definition of relationship is the state of being related by kindred, affinity, or other alliance. When we look at the kingdom of God this morning, we look at the church, we look at ourselves as individuals. We understand that, or rather we must understand that we come together on grounds of relationship when we come to God's house.
Yes.
Not so much that I'm a cousin, or I'm a daughter, or I'm a son, or I'm an uncle, or I'm a dad or a mama of someone in the congregation. But we come together in relationship in the fact that we have been born again by the power of God through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We realize that just coming together doesn't do that, but as we've mentioned already this morning, Jesus said, ye must be born again. Being we're born of the Spirit, brought into the family of God, that therefore means we have to have a relationship. The mother, the daddy, the child in a family, if they don't have a relationship with one another, it's a very chaotic household. It's a very dysfunctional situation.
Yes.
And the church that has folks in it that are per se members of the kingdom of God who does not have a relationship with God, it creates a very dysfunctional church. It creates a very dysfunctional church community. It creates a dysfunctional Christian community about our world and in our communities, in our cities. When people come together and worship God or perceive to worship God and they do not have a relationship. There's something about coming to an altar and calling upon God and pleading with God for mercy. It's something about bringing all of my sins and bringing all of my troubles and all of my heartaches, bringing them down to this altar and asking God to reach further down than I can reach up. There's something about it when God does that very thing. When heaven seems to open and all of God's goodness begins to flow. And I can feel that flowing. And I can feel that presence. I know we're saved by faith. It is the grace of God. But I can tell you that when He saved me, He gave me something I can feel. And I felt glory when it come down upon my soul. And I call that an experience. I said I had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I had an experience with the moving of the Spirit of God. But when I get up out of that altar, if all I carry with me for the next week, for the next years, for the next time in my life is just simply a memory of that experience, and I do not build into a relationship with Him, all I've got is an experience that's soon going to get cold. It's soon going to be forgotten. And after a while, I have no strength. I have no power. I have no access into the good things of God. You understand how it is when there's children. They marry, they go off. But Sister Evelyn, when they come back home, you don't have to tell them where the refrigerator is. You don't have to tell them where the cabinet is to open the drawer and get something out of it, because they have a relationship with mom and dad or with grandma, whoever the relative is. There's a relationship there that says, hey, you've got access to everything in the house. But if you were to lose that relationship and be just nothing more than an experience, you have not that access that you need.
Come on.
Relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ seems to be something that is not desirable. Oh, we say we want a relationship with Him if it is on our terms, if it is on our notions, and if it fits into our schedule, if it fits into what we're wanting to do,
that's right,
then we really want a relationship. But if it caused me to go the second mile,
yes,
when I'm asked to go one,
right,
if it calls for me to die out to my personal desires and push my personal wants over and aside, then I don't really know about that. God's asking too much of me. Now wait a minute. If you're born again, you've become a part of the bride of Christ. It's a mystery. But at the same time, you become a child of God. You become an heir with Jesus Christ, accessible to everything that God the Father has. You remember what Jesus said in the prayer in chapter 17 of St. John, as He prayed for those to have that unity and that oneness with the Father as He had. It's relationship. That is what God is desiring with us. So looking at verse number 1 of chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, follow with me. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit.
Yeah.
A relationship with Jesus Christ helps you deal with whatever comes your way.
Yeah.
It helps you understand that there is no condemnation. What's it saying? He's not saying that somebody's not trying to condemn you. He's saying that when they do, you are free from the charge and you have no reason to get back up in somebody's face and say, stop condemning me. Amen. Many of folks will jump up and say, you're condemning me, and it's simply because there's condemnation there and it's been exposed. But there is no condemnation there in your life if you walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit and not after, if you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, we become spiritual beings in Jesus Christ. That relationship that we have with Him, we become spiritual beings. We no longer walk after the desires of the flesh. We no longer look and long after the to the things of God, and neither can it be. It's an enemy to God. What is carnality, Brother Morgan? What is that natural man, those natural thoughts? Those thoughts that said, hey, I'm going to go to church this morning, and I'm just going to enjoy everything. And you've got the Father's idea of worshiping God and glorifying God. That's carnal this morning when we come to God's house, and our mindset is just to have a good time, and to feel good, and enjoy everything. I didn't come here this morning to enjoy everything. I come here this morning to worship God, to glorify God, to magnify Him. Why? I've got a relationship with Him, and I'm drawn to His presence. I'm drawn to His nearness. I'm drawn to that spirit of worship. We've come in this house to call upon His name, to worship Him. Walking in the Spirit delivers me from condemnation.
Yes,
that is Brother Morgan, I know who you was and what your life was. So what? I'm free from condemnation. That's yesterday lifestyle. That's the past.
That's right.
I'm no longer living there. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yeah.
Y'all know what laws are. Amen. The law of gravity. Brother Justin, what's the law of gravity? He said, what goes up must come down. That's what a law is. What goes up? It's in the appeal. What goes up? It must come down. There's no way around it because it is a law.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about what's set up out on the highway with the speed limit. Amen. That we don't pay very much attention to. But I believe we get spiritual minded enough about it. We'll recognize that that law is put there for our safety. And we'll abide by it because we are Christians.
Right.
And we're a law abiding folk. But I'm talking about law. When God puts something in order, like the law of gravity, it cannot be changed.
Right.
It cannot be altered. It cannot be moved into something else. And so he says the law of the Spirit of life.
Yes.
That means that when I come to Christ, that law is settled. I will walk upright. I will talk upright. I will be a new creature. It's a law. It's settled that when my experience with God turns into a genuine relationship, I can't help but glorify God. I can't help but walk upright. I can't help but shun evil and despise ungodliness and desire more of the presence of God. I can't help it. I said, I can't help it. It's in me. It's a law that's been placed in me because I'm born again. Because I'm born again. Because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with Him. I'm telling you, church covenant on the wall somewhere to know what to do and don't do. It's a living inside of me because I have a relationship. Hallelujah. I don't have to ask Sister Morgan what she likes or what she don't like. I know. I have a relationship with her. Now, that first night on the telephone, she said, we talked for 2 hours. And we might have, but I sure don't recall me doing much talking at any time. But she said it did. That was an experience. I called to ask her for a date. and ended up getting her for life. Hallelujah. I come to an altar to ask Jesus for help. And I found out joy everlasting.
Yes. Amen.
But at that first phone call, that first time to go out together, my wife and I, it was just an experience. And it could have just been a historical fact in my life. But rather, I called her or went to see her every day for the next 7 months until we were united in marriage according to the divine ordinance of God's will. We said, I will or I do. And we made that commitment. I'm afraid that many folks have come to an altar. They've prayed. They've cried. They've called on God. And they begin to feel better. But they've never made that commitment of saying,
come on.
I will.
Yeah.
I knew that once I said I do, it was for life. For better or for worse. I used to think, say, for thin is through thin. I don't know if it says that or not, but you know how that goes. But I knew once I made that statement, I'm making a vow before God and before that congregation of folks that's in there. Oh, come down to this altar. It'll make you feel good. But if you fail to make that commitment, you fail to make that pledge to God through better or for worse, whether good times are good or times are bad, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to walk upright before you. You say, walk upright, preacher. What are you talking about? I'm talking about being what you say you are. Living what you say you have. Letting Christ live through you. The walk of God is very difficult for the man that's walking in the natural and walking in the flesh. But Paul said, I die daily. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the only way you can live holy, is Christ living in you. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If I'm under the law of sin and death, that means I just simply can't help myself. I will sin. Oh, somebody said I can't help but sin a little every day. Then you must be in the flesh. Then it's obvious you're not in the Spirit. Because this is a law set, ordained of God. The law of the Spirit of life has made me free. Has liberated me. Y'all know what free means? We preach in prisons. We understand what free means. And we holler free in that house. They get excited about it. It's made me free from the law of sin and death.
Come on.
We could visit chapter verse number 2 a long time this morning. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the reality. Am I in the church alone or am I in Christ Jesus? If I'm in Christ Jesus, I cannot sin, as John said, because his seed remaineth in me. Hallelujah. Pastor, you may have to double up on your amens over there. Hallelujah. This is what the Word of God says.
Yes.
This is not what my opinion has dreamed up this morning. I'm talking about a relationship.
Yes.
If you get nothing out of this meeting this morning, get this in your head. Move it to your heart. I must have a relationship.
Yes.
I must have it. Oh God, whatever I got, I thank you for the goodness it makes me feel.
Right.
But Lord, give me that relationship. that Jesus walks with me and talks with me. He does more than make me feel good. He does more than help me through the valley. He does more than help me over the mountaintop. But what He does, He keeps me clean. He keeps me upright. He keeps me where I can lay down at night and have no regrets of anything I've said, anything I've done, anything I've even let pass in my mind and sat there for a while. Throughout that day, He keeps me free from condemnation. Glory to God. I ain't seen no shouting this week, but I'm about to get in the middle of something.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
I said, I'm free.
Yes.
I'm free from the law of sin and death. I remember when I was in the bondage of that law. I remember when I was under the cloak of that law. It wrapped around me and held me. And I knew what Mama said, don't do that, boy. But something inside of me said, I can't help but do it. We need to spend more time in the altar until we, excuse me for being old fashioned, but I believe this church has been here since 1913, so I figured it'd be in order to get a little old fashioned.
Yeah, come on.
I dig up bones, I reckon. Praise the Lord. Excuse me for being old fashioned, but I think we need to pray through.
Yes.
I think we need to get in this altar. I'm not talking about coming up here shaking the preacher's hand, repeating what he said. I'm talking about getting down to business, where I'm sick of being sick and I'm tired of being tired. I mean, even though you might have been in the church for a long time, you realize that, hey, there's something empty inside of me. There's something inside of me that just not pulling me in that direction. Get a load of this. If you'll let Jesus pull you, He'll pull you all the way. Free from the law of sin and death, the relationship. Pray until you pray through. Until you get up from that altar with more than just a good feeling, but with a relationship. Oh, relationship. I knew what President John F. Kennedy looked like, but I didn't know him. I knew what LBJ Johnson, I believe was his name, looked like, but I didn't know him. I knew what Nixon looked like, but I didn't know him. I might miss one, but then there was Carter, there was Reagan, there was Bush and Bush again. There was Clinton and there is Obama. I know what they look like, but I don't know them. You understand me? My relationship with God's got to be deeper than it is with a figure of prominence in our country. It's got to be deeper than just a pretty little devotion I read in the morning. But reality, somebody is living inside of me. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus' death on the cross condemned sin to be active in the flesh. He condemned it. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Might be fulfilled, meaning it's up to you whether it will or not. It might be fulfilled. It might, and then it might not. It depends on your spirit of yielding and committing and giving unto Him. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Pastor, we pastored for a good while there before we began this ministry in the prisons. But the question could so easily rise up, I'm sure you've had it. Why does it seem like some folks just do not embrace the sound doctrine of God's purity and God's holiness? Why do they not get a hold of it? The answer's simple. The answer's right here. They're in the flesh. And it's like water on a duck's back. It just doesn't do anything for them. It does not penetrate. It's like a thick head of hair going down in the creek. And you get up out of the water and it looks like it's never had no water on it. Because it's so thick. Because that flesh, that carnal nature is so thick. Now, that statement is a scriptural statement. The carnal mind is not subject to the things of God. It can be an offensive statement if the mind is carnal, because they do not like to be addressed. People in error do not like to be addressed. How many have ever been a boss man on the job? When you had people, Brother Stone, that wasn't doing right their job, did they appreciate you addressing them about it? No. They got offended. Bless our hearts. We were so spiritual shallow that we get offended. I said, bless our hearts. And we're so spiritual shallow that we get offended. And I remember one time I just simply tried to obey the Lord. But there was a church somewhere in the United States that's preaching revival. And bless their hearts, I guess they got offended. And I did call no names for the song. I didn't call no names. I didn't even point in their direction. I just made a statement that's scripturally based as far as carnality goes, and I just kind of added to the thought something natural like a parable to help them understand it better. I said, if carnality was an odor, you could smell some folks before they ever got out of the car in the parking lot. Bless their hearts, they didn't come back the rest of the meeting. I mean, it was a whole band. It seemed like we had to readjust on the podium that week. And, you know, one family, but they were very active in the music. And I don't know if we should call it ministry or not. As the pastor, I said, where are they at? Well, you know how some folks are. I think he knew more than he wanted to let me know he knew. Oops. Homecoming. Watch out, preacher. I'm talking about a relationship. A relationship. Nothing comes my way that makes me not love him. When my mama died in 2009, I believe it was. I mean, I talked to her every week. I talked to her on a Saturday, which was usually called her on Wednesday nights. We lived a long way from her. And I talked to her on Saturday. We was on our way from Georgia to Virginia. And we passed through South Carolina. And I told her, I was talking on the Bluetooth. I said, well, we've come through South Carolina. We go through North Carolina, then we'll be heading on into Virginia.
She said, "Son, I don't see how you do it." Talking about the traveling and all. I said, "Well, if you got a burden, you can do it." So Wednesday night come around, we was occupied with the pastor we'd preached for, and it was too late to call home. So I called on Thursday, and my daddy answered the phone. He was sick and ailing. Mama was 77 years old, still worked at the factory. I mean, Mama, if Mama didn't teach us anything, she taught us to work when you didn't feel like it. She taught us to keep on going in work and doing that. But I called him, he said she's not home from work yet. So apparently she's working late. This was on Thursday because I missed on Wednesday. About the time I'm tying my shoes to get ready to go preach, my brother calls. He says, "I don't know how to tell you this, but to tell you, Mama just dropped dead." What was I to do? Shake my hand at God and say, "Look, I'm preaching the gospel. I didn't get to talk to my mama yesterday. Now you've let her die?" "No, because I've got a relationship with him." I said, "By your grace, we'll make it through this." My brother said, "If you can, I want you to preach the funeral." I said, "If I can, I will. By his grace." I mounted that pulpit and preached that funeral. By his grace, I got over the fact that I can't call her anymore, but she still, I want to pick up the phone and call her. But I'm never angry at God because I've got a relationship with him. I said, I've got a relationship that takes me through the bad times.
Yes.
A relationship that helps me enjoy the good times.
Yes.
A relationship that keeps me moving when they're falling all around me, to the right and to the left. Caleb and Joshua had a relationship with the truths of God's promise. They said, "We can take the land." And 10 spies said, "We can't do it. They're too big." But while Caleb and Joshua stood, they wanted to stone them, but they stood anyway. And after a while, each and every one of those spies died. But Caleb and Joshua could have put it this way: "They're dying all around me, yet I stand." And it was because they had a relationship. I got a long way to go this morning, but I fear lest I lose some of your attention. I'm going to call my wife to the piano. We're going to move toward a closing. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But then Paul turns to those who have a relationship with Christ and says, "But ye are not in the flesh. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if..." Verse 11 of our text, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead..." Go with me quickly to a tomb that Joseph of Arimathea let Jesus borrow, because he wasn't going to keep it, but he just borrowed it. They took that limp body that had the crown of thorns been pressed in the brow, hands and feet spiked with those nails, the back just riddled with that whip. The body, as the Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished," and dropped his head and died. And Joseph and Nicodemus, they begged the body of Jesus. Pilate gave them permission. The soldiers come by breaking the legs of the criminals hanging on the execution crosses.
they come to Jesus, he's already dead. He's given up the ghost. He gave his blood. They didn't take it. He could have called legions of angels to take it off of that cross. He gave it for us. Not that we could just feel good. Not that we could just feel good. I'm telling you, we travel to a lot of churches, and the hour we're living in has become an hour of feel good and entertainment in too many places. Jesus does make me happy. It's the brother's mother-in-law's son, because he knows how. But I had to have a relationship before I can really get happy. And then I come, not for the happiness, but for the relationship and the fellowship with him. Jesus gave up the ghost. They begged the body of Christ. They take it down. They put that body in that tomb. They wrap it up. All process of burial. Jesus promised, I'll come up in 3 days. And the Spirit of God quickened that mortal body. This has a twofold service here, this scripture. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwelleth in you. He's not referring to the last resurrection. I don't believe right here, because nothing's said about that. He's talking about the law of sin and death. He's talking about the law of Spirit of life in Christ. So quicken means come alive. So when He says this, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that doesn't mean visit you while you're at church. Man, I felt the Spirit in church today. What are you feeling at home today? But if that Spirit dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal body, that you may serve Him in this flesh and not give unto the flesh, the carnal man. Quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That Spirit that's dwelling in me is quickening my behavior, my deeds, my walk, my actions, my thinking. It's monitoring my entire life. Remember what the Word of God says in the book of Titus. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously in this present life. Only way I can live in this present life is to have a relationship with Him where that Spirit is in me, quickening my mortal body, making me alive unto the things of God. Alive to the things of God. And it's all wrapped up, bundled up in a relationship. Hallelujah. Would you stand? I'd like to ask you to close your eyes this morning. Bow your heads all over the house. I tell you, I believe the Lord's in this room this morning. Brother, I've been home commons and these kind of meetings where they got a meal and I couldn't find the liberty to preach. I found this morning. God's wanting somebody to get some help. God's wanting to touch somebody's life like He's never touched it before. Somebody. So you're saved. God forbid that I question that for a minute. You've prayed, you've cried, you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Thank God for it. But have you come into relationship? Have you come beyond just a feeling? Have you come beyond just a emotional high spot in your life? Do you really know Him?
acknowledge and recognize is not there. Who would be honest and not wait till the general altar call is given? Who would be honest and say, "Preacher, I sense the Spirit of God to draw in you this morning. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Make this homecoming a homecoming. It's time to go back home, child. It's time to come back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. Would you come?" I believe God's dealing with somebody's heart. I said, I believe God's dealing with somebody's heart this morning. You need to get past an experience. Come into a relationship with Jesus. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Is there a saint of God in the house that can touch heaven right now? Let's hear our voices raised toward heaven, asking God to have mercy. God, have mercy this morning on that soul that the Spirit of God has dealt with. That heart's been pricked. There's been a slight of anger because there's been an offensive feeling come over them. I won't be offended. I'll be blessed. I'll be drawn. Oh, God, draw that heart this morning. God, we need this. This is reality. We believe your son Jesus is fixing to come back. We believe that the days of man is like a vapor in the book of James. We're here today, gone tomorrow, and none of us is promised of tomorrow. Your word called us, Lord, to not say we're going to do this or that.
Give me an upgrade.